Hi everyone, welcome to the Sid Warrior podcast. Thank you so much for joining in today. We have Ujjwal Gadhvi. We are going to discuss a lot of really interesting things. We're going to talk about spirituality, about growth, about how you can make an Instagram reels better, how to be more consistent. I hope you're going to enjoy it. Stick around. Hi Ujjwal, thank you for joining in.
Thank you, Doctor. It's a pleasure to be on the podcast, honestly, and really looking forward to talk to you, sir.
Cheers, man. All right. So Ujjwal, feeling good, feeling okay?
Yes, all fine. Okay.
Excellent. Thanks so much, man, for coming on this podcast. I was very excited to have you on.
Yes, my pleasure, sir. Thank you for inviting me, firstly.
tell me about your, how has it been, by the way? Like, how has the pandemic been for you?
Pandemic had been sort of good and bad. A little bit of both. Good. I'll start with the bad first. So bad because I had when the pandemic started, just 2 days before that, I came back to Mumbai. Back then in 2020, I was working in Bangalore, and that job was sort of okay-ish. It was not serving me or serving my purpose or goals. So I had to quit that job in a way during the pandemic. Yes, during the pandemic, I was among the few people who quit my job. And after the pandemic, I was glad to be home. Firstly, my parents were a little paranoid since I was not in Mumbai, and I've been in Mumbai throughout my life, and this was the first time I went out. So I came
Where
back
were you?
Home. I was in Bangalore. I had gone there for a job. I had secured my placement over there after my MBA. And so when I came back, I was on a job hunt for 4 months. For 4 months, I was at home. Luckily, I had made a few savings, so it was fine. So in those 4 months, I think a lot of things happened. I was then trying to get involved in multiple things. And then I started to make content on Instagram. So on Instagram, Reels was a brand new feature. On Reels also, I believe I was a little late. I should have started earlier, but still better late than never. I created Reels, and that's how the process began. I was for 4 months, at least for every single day, I posted at least one Reel. And that's how it caught up. And then it's all been over here. So yes,
4 months daily Reels.
Yes. 4 months. I started exactly 1 year ago, sometime back in October, October, November, December, January. These 4 months, I constantly made Reels every single day for one Reel per day. That was my status. I still do, but now weekly I post around 3 to 4 Reels. But back then it was one per day, non-negotiable. I have to do this period.
Right.
So that's I think during the pandemic, a lot many people got this chance of going digital, going into social media, and Reels was a feature which really helped. You know, a lot many people deserve to be out there but weren't able to. But I think this pandemic as well as digital transition was very helpful to many people. So yeah, the pandemic has been both good and bad. How was it for you, sir? The pandemic.
It's been such a similar story, man. It was
really
because of the pandemic, your regular normal job, the job that you've been trained to do, that kind of gets affected for everyone. Even me, being a doctor, but being a specialized specialist like a neurologist, for the first few months, I found myself having a lot more free time. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that there were a lot of medical students in the country who were missing colleges, who were missing their clinical experience, I thought, hey, why not? Let me teach people online. So okay. I just put out a tweet on Twitter saying, hey, are there any medical students? Do you want some neurology clinics? I'm free. My ghar pe baitha ho. So let's do it. Mm-hmm. And that's how this whole story started, that I started teaching people on Zoom. And neurology clinics became neuroscience lectures.
Okay.
Neuroscience lectures became neuroscience YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. And that became Instagram content. And 1 year later, we are doing two jobs.
Yes, sir. Exactly. But sir, you said you're a neurologist, is it? So then how was the kind of, like, people must have been coming a lot because they must be stressed with the pandemic and they must be overwhelmed with all of this that's happening. So did you have something like that? Maybe I personally mean that people would have turned a lot to neurologists and, you know, psychologists for some mental relief or some mental stress relief, whatever.
There has been such a rise in mental health issues in the last 1 year. There are two reasons for it. One is that it has a stressful time. none of us are really mentally prepared to handle something like this. We are not trained for an event like this. The other thing is awareness. Stress to kafi tasalo se ho raha hai, but now because of the conversation around anxiety, around depression, around panic attacks, so logon ko pata chal raha hai ki, acha, what I'm going through is not normal. It is not something that I can just dismiss. So now people are paying more attention to their mental health, which is a great thing. It is so important because wo shuruaat ke stage pe agar tumne catch kiya, so you are able to help people a lot better. Okay. One of the things that I noticed when I was going through your content was the emphasis that you place on spirituality.
Correct.
Now, that is not like usual when you talk about finance and career. Spirituality doesn't always come in. So I'm very curious as to how did spirituality become a part of your conversation at such an early age?
Sir, I'm actually 28.
It's think, still early.
No, I don't think it's early. I think, you know, I always feel that something like this spirituality stuff about Hindu history and, you know, gods and stuff. So it obviously overwhelms me because stuff like that is pretty normal in my home. In my home, you will always find something like this going on. My mother is always listening to something like that, some sort of a lecture, anything related to spirituality is constantly on in my home 24/7. So I think one thing that affects is the environment. So like whatever environment you are in, you accordingly grow and you accordingly start to think that way. So a cactus grows in a desert and otherwise cactus can't grow in a forest. So it's like the environment plays a very big role. And secondly, sir, I honestly feel that stuff like this is often not clearly understood or often people mock at it. I personally have been there because when I used to work around seven, 8 years ago, I used to work for an MNC and still I had belief in all these things and I was probably the only ones. I was very deep into it and I found comfort and peace in it. But then people used to mock me for my beliefs and they used to laugh at me for this, that, okay, why do you believe in all this? Or why does all of this matter? What is all of this? And blah, blah, blah. So my question to them was that, why is it mocked? Why is spirituality something to be laughed at? What is the problem with it? Because now if you see in the past 1 year, so many people have turned to it and people sooner or later turn to it because they know that this is one thing, probably the only thing that can give them peace or that can help them out. So that's one. Second, so I personally believe that everything can be linked with spirituality. And I am a firm believer in Mahabharata, very firm, staunch believer. And I think my mom also tells me this one thing, that everything is there in Mahabharata. And whatever is not there in Mahabharata doesn't exist. So Mahabharata is basically the culmination of everything. Everything that there is now was also there back then. But it's just that we have not been communicated about it properly. Okay, whatever we see in TV serials and all that, that is the tip of the iceberg. It's probably the tip of the tip of the iceberg. It's not even the real surface. So my point was that at that point, while creating content, people generally say that you have to have a particular niche. You have to have a particular category only. So I was still venturing into that. But one thing which I feel worked for me was that I didn't stick to one niche. I was creating content around everything. So back then I was creating content for CA students because I'm a chartered accountant. So people come to me for help. I was creating on that. Then when that became stagnant, I got to something else. Then I got to something else. Then I got to something else. So that way, people didn't really have one particular image about Ujjwal. That, okay, Ujjwal is not... He's creating content around everything. So that worked for me and that didn't work for me also. So one fine day, what happened was that I thought, okay, let's put something around Bhagavad Gita. Let's put something around... So there was this one particular reel of mine. It was around Lord Hanuman. And I spoke. So there is a verse in Hanuman Chalisa which goes like, Hanumanji has Ashta Siddhis and Navanidhis, 8 superpowers and 9 precious artifacts. So I made a reel around the 8 superpowers which he has. And I thought, okay, let's not just speak about that. Let's fuse it with something which people can relate with, which people know. So I linked that with Avengers, the Marvel superheroes. Now, I personally am a big Marvel fan. Right. So I tried to fuse them and so that people can understand, okay, this is what he's talking about. When you relate it with something which people know and understand, it becomes easily explainable and teachable. Yeah. So that's how I made it. And that reel went crazy viral. That
Right.
was the reel that changed everything for me. Now that one reel added so many followers, touch wood, even it was unprecedented for me also.
Mm.
And then, so that was the transition for me to, okay, to finally consider creating content around that. Now, after that also, I still thought that, okay, let's not just stick to that. Let's stick to other things also. But then I got this idea that why can't I fuse spirituality and all that kind of content with the actual genuine problems which people are facing, or maybe some material concept or some concept of everyday life. So one of my favorite authors, his name is Shubha Vilas. He's associated with ISKCON organization. Now, I am a fond admirer of his literature. He's written quite a few books, and his books are the source of inspiration for me.
Mm.
So the way he combines Mahabharata and spirituality lessons with everyday problems, that's sort of a marvel. The way he does it is nobody else can do it, in my personal opinion. So I also try to do that. I take inspiration from his stories and all that, and I try to make things work in both ways, that people also get to know about spirituality and stuff which they don't know, which I believe they should know. And they might also get some relief and some solution to what their genuine problems might be.
The challenge is that spirituality is linked to religion, and religion in our generation, when we are growing up, there have been certain problem points, you know. So when you and I have grown up, our generation has seen religion being an excuse for violence or for division.
True.
And so a lot of kids are now growing up with the thought that religion is something that is dicey. It's not,
dicey.
You know, yeah. So there are problem areas.
Mm-hmm.
And because spirituality is linked to religion so strongly, that is probably one of the reasons why there is a question mark on, hey, why are you focusing on spirituality so much? Whereas I completely understand your perspective, because spirituality is basically us trying to answer existential questions. And existential questions are not a 21st century problem. It has existed ever since man became conscious of himself or herself.
Yes.
So these are discussions that have been going on for the last 50,000 years.
Correct.
So it makes no sense for us to ignore something that has been written that long ago, because it was written about a problem that existed that long ago.
True.
So for that, it does make sense to incorporate spirituality in our everyday life.
Sid, you said spirituality is linked with religion. In a way I agree, but I don't know why a certain part of me would like to add to it is that I feel spirituality should be linked with stories.
Mm.
Because if you see right now also the concept of storytelling, if you say it's gaining a lot of prominence. Even you see all the other brands, all the other major companies and everyone, they are not focusing much on selling them their product or selling their services. They are focusing on selling their stories.
Yeah.
So whatever they are trying is they are putting forward in terms of a story or something. So I think one major aspect around my content or what I have been trying to do is that maybe weave a story around spirituality, something, and then present my point in such a way. I don't know. There was this one quote which I heard from this very author, Mr. Shubha Vilas. It went like, those who can't reveal the naked truth, they often cover it with a good story. So this one quote is stuck in my head, and I always believe that good stories obviously do the trick. But when we speak about religion, I think religion loosely translates to dharma. Okay, it means dharma. And I think dharma has different meanings, but we have completely understood the meaning of dharma as religion. We feel dharma only means religion, but dharma has different meanings. It's written in Bhagavad Gita. I can't remember the chapter or the verse, but it is written that dharma basically means religion. Dharma also means duty. And dharma also means nature, nature or characteristic. So for example, the dharma of sugar is to be sweet. The dharma of salt is to be salty. Now, that can't be changed. Sugar can't be salty and salt can't be sweet. Same with the dharma, the nature of human spirit is to love and to serve. At the end of the day, we are serving something or the other, someone or the other, some purpose or the other, some goal, whatever. But at the end, we are serving that, because that is our inherent nature. So I think when it comes to spirituality, it's about understanding this dharma. What exactly are we serving? What exactly are we loving? Because, okay, I'm creating content because I'm probably serving something. I have my own goals. I might be having my own desires. We are might as well having this podcast to serve something, I believe. Yes. Yes, please.
So are you saying that dharma is purpose?
You can say yes, purpose. Purpose or, okay, purpose. Dharma mean nature. Nature be the term. So what's the nature of something? Like you can say, like I said, the nature of spices is to add flavor to the to the right. food.
I love the concept of dharma. The thing that challenges me sometimes is when we say dharma and we talk of identity. We say that the dharma of sugar is to be sweet, but we also identify sugar because it is sweet. So if one day sugar stops being sweet and it tastes salty, we will not say that this is salty sugar. We will say this is salt. So the complexity happens when we talk of human beings, because in human beings, we tend to judge people on the way that they look. Just like we say that, oh, this is a white powder, this must be sugar, and therefore its dharma is sweet. But in a human being, that dharma is often not clear, because it is not about how they look. Dharma is something that is inherent to that one person.
Correct.
And this is where a lot of people struggle, because what is my dharma is a question that I believe every human being goes through at some point in their life. Even Lord Krishna. I remember a story written by this author called K.M. Munshi. He was a freedom fighter. He was with Gandhiji at that time. He's from East India. And he has written an entire series of books called Krishnavatara. I would very much recommend, if you're interested in Mahabharata. It's a beautiful series of work. There are 7 books. He unfortunately died before he could finish the last one. But in that book, he has written about the entire story of Mahabharata from a perspective that is almost practical. Like, if you remove magic and if you remove divine intervention, how would Mahabharata have played out? And incredible storyline, incredible insights. So in that one, he has written about a chapter in which Krishna goes through this conflict of what is my dharma? Who am I? So that chapter has just stayed in my head, because I believe that when I look around, I feel every one of us has gone through that stage. Ki main kaun hu? Mera purpose kya hai? Mujhe kya karna hai? What is your advice on somebody who is going through an existential crisis like that? How can spirituality help them?
Okay, firstly, that's a great question. And I'm overwhelmed on listening about this Krishna Avatara thing. I'll definitely get a look into it. So I'll simply share what I have done, and my own, I think your question resonates a lot with what I went through during my days exactly 1 year ago. So 1 year ago, I was completely at rock bottom, I would say, but that's when I knew that, okay, the only way up now, only way is to go up now. Like when it comes to spirituality, one major problem with people is that people ask, why? Like, what will it do? I can't see results. I don't know how it works. So one major fact is, when it comes to spirituality, it's essential that you don't question the fundamentals, because we as human beings have a questioning mind. We are always asking questions for something or the other. But in spirituality, in other things in life, people generally want to see something first. They want to see results before they can venture into it. Okay, so it's like ki mujhe pehle result dekhna hai, uske baad main karunga. But when it comes to spirituality, it's the opposite. You do first and then you see results later. That's the first thing. So I think it's very important not to question the fundamentals. Secondly, it is extremely important to have some source of guidance. You can say a guru or some sort of guidance, because there is always somebody who is going to be smarter than us, someone who is a level up, someone who is who has something more than us, someone who's more enriching than us, someone who knows more than us, it's necessary that we turn to them and not pretend that we know everything. That's the main problem people do. I myself have made this mistake so many times in the past 5 years. I've not turned to people because I felt that I know everything. Main sab kar sakta hun. Sometimes I still do that when it comes to content. I don't delegate my work and I end up facing the consequences for it. But still, it's okay. We are all in the learning stage. So it's essential to turn to someone, even if it's not a guru, but at least somebody who you know is wiser than you, who knows more than you. Third part is that you practice some sort of spirituality from your end. Maybe something very basic, something which you can do on your own scale. It can be reading good books. It can be listening to good podcasts. And it can be listening to good music. I specifically focus on these three things, music, podcasts, and good books, because these three things are what people often overlook, especially music. I read this book called Chanakya in Daily Life by Dr. Radhakrishnan Pillai.
Yes.
One chapter which I read was about music. It's like people don't pay attention to the music they listen to. And music plays a very, very critical role about the way we think and about the way we behave. And throughout, from over the past 7-8 years, my mindset was a little below neutral, maybe a little towards the pessimistic side, not much, but a little below towards that, because mainly I listened to a lot of negative and all that kind of sad music. So that not for one day, constantly for months and for years. So the way the music we listen to also has a very big impact. And I changed my playlist. I consciously eliminated all the negative songs from my list. And now I only listen to music that can uplift me and that can make me feel better. So that one shift has been huge, tremendous. And I focused on podcasts. So I listened to only a few podcasts, but a few podcasts which really, really encourage me and which really uplift me. One of them is On Purpose by Jai Shetty. That's one of my favorite podcasts ever.
Yeah.
And the third is books. So I think when it comes to books, people read just for the sake of reading. I personally feel that. I have read very few books in life. Not many books I have read, but the books which I have read are the ones which I will obviously prefer reading again. Because sometimes people read a book and they forget about the book. They read a book. So Abhi, let me ask you, the last book which you read, how much do you remember it? Like on surface, how much do you remember it? Like,
so I have a habit of making notes.
True.
So whenever I read any, especially any non-fiction book, I would always be jotting down something or the other. So that kind of helps me stick certain things into my memory. The last book I read was What Marketing Is by Seth Godin.
Seth Godin.
And it's very interesting that if you read two or three books on the same topic, you realize how many points are repeated. So for me, reading books is all about spotting patterns. Okay, let's just spot patterns between 5-6 things and then see where all is recurring.
Correct.
But I get your point that if you're reading a book on a completely new topic, I would probably remember like 10% of it after 2 months.
Exactly.
Not more than that.
Exactly. That's the only issue. So the task is to read less books, but to read quality books. And like whenever I go for a book, I ask myself, okay, if I had this threshold that I can read only 100 books in my entire lifetime, will this book be a part of it? So that is the question which I ask.
There is a quote by Naval Ravikant. He said this in a podcast that do not feel committed to finishing books. That concept doesn't hold true anymore. A book is just like any other relationship. That if that person is not holding your interest, and if that person isn't providing value to your life, there is no commitment for you to be in that person's life forever.
True.
So if that book isn't holding your interest in the first 2-3 chapters, do not feel committed to finishing it.
Yes.
Leave it. Chodo. Agle book pe chale ja.
That's true. That's true. So yeah, these three concepts were very vital. And last point I'd like to say is so there is this one thing is about chanting meditation. I do that every day. I chant the holy name. At least I do one round of chanting every day. That negotiate me. So there were two doctors, Dr. Andrew Newberg and Dr. A.G. Poing. Mm-hmm. Okay, these were from America. And this experiment was sort of a little controversial. Now, I don't know if the results of this are actually accurate or not, but I have heard about this a lot. And I've also read an article about it, that this was quite an interesting experiment. So these two, they two were psychologists and neurologists. They assembled a group of people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Four groups of people, kids, youngsters, kids, teenagers, adults, and senior citizens. Okay, four age groups. And they took MRI scans of their heads to understand. I believe you can understand this experiment a little better. Mm-hmm. So they took brain MRI scans of all of them. Okay, now this was part one. Then after taking the scans, they told them that you have to do name chanting meditation every day for 12 minutes. That's it, for 12 minutes every day, no matter whichever deity, whichever divine power you believe in, any divine intelligence that you believe in, you have to remember them, chant their name every day for 12 minutes and meditate. That's it. So after a couple of months, okay, they did all of this for a few months. After a couple of months, all the people, they were brought back. Mm-hmm. And then again, they were subjected to MRI scans. Their brains were scanned again. So they observed some really startling improvements in the brains of these people. In small kids, they believe that their memory power shot up by 10 to 12%. In teenagers, I believe something, I can't remember what happened, but still some part of their brain, they improved by around 10 to 12%. I don't know exactly what was it.
Right.
But kids' ka brain power improved.
What was the name of the author?
No, it's not an author.
The two scientists, what was the name?
Dr. Andrew Newberg and Dr. H.G. Coing.
Okay.
K-O-A-N-G. K-O-A-N-G. Right. A.G. Quinn. You can look up for this. I also...
I'm going to read up on this article.
I ran across this article. So I'll share you the link. I actually have it.
Yeah.
So that's with kids, their memory power shot up by around a few percent. For adults, adults also benefited. For teenagers. For adults, adults' key buffer capacity improved. By buffer capacity, I mean the capacity to tolerate the shocks of life. Because during adulthood only we get the majority of the shocks. And when it comes to the senior citizens, their immunity improved by around 5 to 6 or a certain percentage. Now, because for a few months they were diligently doing name chanting meditation for 12 minutes every day.
Right.
Now that was one aspect. Now, okay, even I was a little surprised when I heard about this. We were doing it just because, okay, we should do it. It's a part of our spiritual thing. But then the medical benefits of it are also quite interesting.
What is incredible is how science is proving a lot of religious practices right. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't make it. I feel that this whole divide between religion and science has been blown up too much.
True.
Because in the end, we forget that we are all on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the end, we all want to live a better life. That is one thing that has not changed, whether it is the year 1000 BC or whether it is 2021. Human beings want to live a better life. Now, everybody will do whatever they can to improve their own life and whatever seems to work.
Correct.
It is not possible that so many religious practices have stuck around for so many years if it doesn't work.
Correct.
The only question is, why does it work? And since we cannot explain it, there is this line of thought that whatever cannot be explained should be dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not that's not a very scientific way of thinking. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Just because you cannot explain something doesn't mean that you have to dismiss it. You keep it on hold.
Yes, yes, yes.
You see what comes up. The only thing is, personally, my problem with religion is not the practices.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with religion is the economics of it, the power structure of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything that is able to influence a lot of people immediately becomes a center for power control.
Okay.
For me, that is where the problem started. I believe that a lot of religious practices are actually very, very good for you. And it is getting proven every day that it is good for you. So what you just said, right, about chanting, like I'm not sure. I think you might be quite interested in learning about this. In the body, there is something called as the autonomic nervous system.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most important system because it is what keeps balance between all your other systems. So you have your heart, your breathing, your blood circulation, your digestion. These are alag alag systems hote hai body mein.
Correct.
It is the autonomic nervous system that keeps all these different systems in balance. Heart rate kab badhna chahiye, kab kam hona chahiye. Breathing kab badhna chahiye, kab kam hona chahiye. Digestion kab jyada hona hai, kam karna. So ye sab kuch balance autonomic nervous system karta hai. Think of it like a seesaw.
Okay.
When you chant and when you're taking deep breathing and when you're vibrating your vocal cords by chanting, you know, basically you are activating something called as the vagus nerve.
Vagus nerve. Okay.
Vagus nerve, V-A-G-U-S. And the vagus nerve is the key component of your autonomic nervous system. So now there are more and more research articles showing how vagal nerve stimulation helps in calming you down.
Okay.
Now there are machines that you can attach into your vagus nerve to stimulate your vagus nerve so that your autonomic nervous system is shifted towards the parasympathetic side. So the autonomic nervous system, there are two sides, sympathetic, parasympathetic. So when parasympathetic ke taraf aata hai, to the body calms down. It is the autonomic nervous system telling the brain ki sab kuch theek hai, relax.
Right.
So when you chant for 10, 12 minutes and you're deep, you're sitting in one place, you're taking deep breaths, tumhare lungs expand ho rahe. All of this is a feedback loop for your brain to tell itself that it's okay.
Calm down.
Calm down.
Okay.
And when you are calm, tumhare brain ka jo bhi soldiers hai, wo sab kuch settle down ho jate hai. When your heart rate settles down and your stress level comes down. So these are actual
correct
physical benefits to a religious practice that started so many years ago. But uska karan abhi pata chal raha hai.
Correct, exactly.
Which is so beautiful.
The people who discovered it back then, they were a lot more intelligent than we can ever be. So I think they knew the concepts of this. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you know about this one more experiment which was done with regard to fasting. That fasting can actually cure cancer. I don't know if you know about this. Now, this is also a little bit controversial.
Yeah, this is controversial.
There is no exact precise scientific evidence of this, but I think there were two doctors who won the Nobel Prize for this. There were two Japanese doctors. I can't remember their names, but if you, I think on Google, you can get this one. So they actually discovered that if patients are made to fast, by fast, I mean waterless fasting, for a specific time duration, maybe once in every 15 to 20 days or something like that. Then what happens is that the white blood cells, I believe, those are the ones responsible for the immunity, right? In the body, white blood cells.
Yeah, white blood cells are a part of the immune system.
They're a part of, yes. So these white blood cells, they automatically start eating up on the cancer virus inside us. I don't know if that's correct or not.
Yeah, so there
but
is
this experiment was genuine.
There are a lot of controversial points here. So one of the issues is in every disease, there is it's a spectrum, right? So it is like saying that looking at both sides of the road while crossing the street will save your life. Okay.
Okay.
It reduces the chances of you having an accident. But once you've had an accident and fracture ho gaya, uske baad dono taraf dekh ke jyada fayda nahi hai. So it is something like that. So fasting has a lot of benefits, a lot. It helps your body get healthier. So regular fasting is a very good thing. In fact, I would recommend it for everybody unless they have a contraindication. So for example, agar koi diabetes patient hai aur wo insulin pe hai, to unke liye advice thoda specific ho jayega, like depending on their physical state and their blood reports. But in general, fasting is an extremely good habit that everybody should incorporate into their lives.
Exactly.
So physically, mentally also, just getting into the habit of being able to say no to food is a very powerful thing, because aajkal hum log aise it's an addiction.
Correct.
Let's face it, right? Like food is an addiction now.
As a matter of fact, sorry to cut you. As a matter of fact, you say this, last night only I spoke to a friend who's based in Nagpur, and she said that she's stress eating. So because of stress, she's eating. And I'm like, what kind of a stress food to eat? It just came to my head, said it.
Yeah. No, it's super common, man. And especially if, especially if you're awake beyond a certain point of time, it's crazy how bad habits like to roam together.
Yes.
So if you find yourself awake beyond 12:30, 1, 2, you know, you start feeling, yaar, dinner karke, what time ho gaya? Or sab log so gaye, there's nobody to judge me. Let's open that packet of chips.
I can understand.
So these are all bad habits that are, I mean, not morally wrong, but it's just physically wrong. You know, these are not sustainable habits. If you do them for 10, 20 years in a stretch, it is going to take a negative toll on your body.
Very bad compounding effect.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So it makes sense for us to shift towards a lifestyle that is more sustainable.
True.
And not compound these bad habits. And naturally, if you shift towards a healthier lifestyle, the chances of you getting all diseases go down, one of which is cancer.
Yes.
So I believe the specific theory around cancer came about because of this idea that cancer cells require more nutrition. And so if you fast, then cancer cells will be the first ones to get get affected. So they will die first. The theory is great. I think there is a lot of research going on still. The point I want to make is that we cannot say fasting cures cancer.
Maybe it limits or
fasting makes you healthier.
Healthier.
And a healthy body is more capable of fighting all diseases.
True.
That would be a better thing to do. The reason I'm so careful about saying this is because people will want to take home messages that fits in the best with their worldview.
True.
You know, so I have had patients who have cancer and they refuse chemotherapy. And they say that, nahi, maine suna hai ki fasting se ho jayega. And then, you know, it is very sad, especially if there is a drug that can cure or at least make their disease much better. The hearing something like this might just muddle them up.
I understand. Nini, sir, I know that you are a doctor. You are way more educated and knowledgeable on this subject than I am. So obviously, even I would turn to you for something like this. That's why I said that, okay, I think this is a conjecture, this fasting thing. It is controversial. But still, that the process is on and the conversation about it is on, that in itself is a good thing.
Absolutely. Even exercise.
Yes.
Something exercise. As simple as regular exercise has been shown to have such a good effect on, I mean, not just cancer, like it is effective across all the other diseases.
Yes, sir. Please go on.
Yeah. When you said that you've been making reels consistently.
Yes.
Are there topics like these, you know, topics that are universal for everyone, like sleep, like meditation, like chanting? Are you focused on universal topics, or did you say, I'm a chartered accountant, so I'm going to speak to chartered accountant students?
No. When I started off, I was basically focusing around all these topics only. Initially, my content was not based around spirituality. Initially, my content was based a little around, you know, you can say basic tips and tricks, which we often avoid in everyday life, but which can make our lives a little better. So I'm particularly a big fan of this one book. It's called The Art of the Good Life by Rolf Dobelai.
Okay.
The Art of the Good Life by Rolf Dobelai. I would be happy even if this is the only book which is left for me for read throughout my life. I'd be happy. I'll happily read this book all over again. It's not a big book. It's a small book. The size also is very small, but it's one of the most brilliant books I've ever read. So this book has been the inspiration and source of major part of the content that I've posted so far. And a few reels, I'll just say what my topics were on. So one reel was on how we can read books quickly. Okay. So this I learned from this guy called Jim Quick. Wonderful man.
Yeah.
He goes about like that. People often feel overwhelmed when they see a book. Why? Because the size of the book is huge. But if you read only 25 pages in one day, that means you're reading around 9,000 pages in 1 year. That means you're reading 30 books in 1 year. That means you're closely reading around 2 to 3 books in 1 month. And that is not a bad number, because there is a quote which it's like a fun fact, which goes like that. An average entrepreneur, an average CEO reads around 56 books in a year. Yeah. That is one book per week. So if you are just starting out and if you are reading only 30 books in a year, as compared to an average CEO who reads 56, then 30 is not a bad number for someone who's just starting out.
Yeah.
So that is one way. Now that felt unique. People didn't know this. So I made a reel around that. Then, just indulge me for a small experiment. Okay. Let's do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the very room where you are sitting right now, okay, try to find any four things of black color.
Done.
Okay, just point at them.
Yeah.
Do it right now.
Yeah.
Point it right now. Tell me which thing.
So my camera, my phone, my mouse, and my iPad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So try to find any four things of pink color now.
Pink?
Yes, in your room. And point it.
All right. So I have what is this? So this is a towel, one Rubik's cube, one pen, and a plastic bag.
All right. Correct. So black. Yeah. You'll obviously find something or the other of each color in your
room. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, when you were trying to find things of black and pink color, were you even focusing on anything which was not black or pink?
No,
right? Your focus was only going on the things which you were trying to find.
Yes.
So the exact same concept applies in life. Whatever we are trying to find is what we will see.
Yeah.
If you're trying to find good people, good things, good opportunities, if you're diligently trying to find them, point them out, you will eventually see them. But the same thing applies for the negative things. If you're constantly thinking negative, if you're constantly thinking that meri life mein kharab logi aate hain, kharab opportunities mujhe milti hain, so that is what you will bump. So that is the plain simple concept of this is law of universe simply explained.
Yeah.
So if you get what you're looking for, you get what you're finding. So this was one video. And so I basically was I'm a big fan of how the subconscious mind works. I read this one book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind.
Yeah.
By Dr. Joseph Murphy, one of the best books I've read. And in fact, there was one question in this book which I wanted to ask you. I'll come to that. So in this book, it's just how the subconscious mind works. But there's this one creator, Drishti Sharma. She posted this one reel once and that stuck in my head. It's like people often follow their subconscious mind. They say good affirmations. They think good things and, you know, they think all positive things and they say, but still it doesn't work. It doesn't work because people themselves are not working. So people are not taking action and thinking their subconscious mind will do everything for them, but they themselves are not taking any action. It's like you go to a restaurant, you just sit there and you expect the waiter to read your mind and bring what you want to eat.
Right.
So, right. You actually have to take the basic action of telling your waiter ke boss leke aao khana mujhe chahiye, mujhe ye dish chahiye. And it's also like, so there is this one, again, she's an American creator. Her name is Nelly.
Mm-hmm.
Her username is Ask Nelly. Okay. She usually creates content around dating, dating, how dating psychology works. So she created this one reel and that has been by far one of the simplest explanation of how the subconscious mind works. It goes like, you go to a restaurant एंड यू ऑर्डर फूड टू द वेटर, यू टेल वेटर की बॉस मेरे लिए ये पाव भाजी लेके आओ फॉर एग्जाम्पल. सो वेन यू ऑर्डर फूड, यू ऑर्डर फूड एंड यू जस्ट सिट अराउंड एंड ओपन योर फोन और गेट ऑक्यूपाइड, यू गेट बिजी इन डूइंग समथिंग टिल योर फूड कम्स. नेवर इवन वंस वाइल वेटिंग फॉर योर फूड डू यू थिंक दैट यार अगर मेरा खाना नहीं आया तो, वो वेटर मेरा खाना नहीं लेके आया तो.
Right.
You ordered food, the waiter is bound to get it. You did the basic action of ordering your food. All right?
Right.
So same way, like you just think that your subconscious mind will work. The universe will deliver you what you want to eat.
Yeah.
And you get busy doing your work. You get occupied, like how you get occupied in the restaurant. You don't think that agar universe mujhe nahi dega to. No, you get occupied. You get busy doing your work. And universe
don't get caught up in doubt.
Exactly. So doubting is the killer. And yes, the question which I want to come for is this. So in this book, The Power of Subconscious Mind, somewhere there was an example that somebody's subconscious mind actually cured her skin cancer. So she was this, I don't know, I had posted it once on my reel, in one of my reels, when I made a reel on books to read if you want to improve your mind or something. And I had cited this example that subconscious mind could cure cancer because there was such an example in that book. And somebody told me that there is no scientific evidence of this fact. It right. might have worked only for a particular case. This isn't norm. So have you heard something like this?
So there are so many stories of spontaneous remissions of cancers.
Okay.
One of the things that the subconscious mind does is it looks for explanations.
Okay.
So
explanations,
because the thing that worries us the most beyond anything else is not knowing why. Why did this happen? Agar hamare paas wo why nahi hai, to hum log panic mein chale jaate hain, which is actually why a lot of religions and stories actually came about in the early days, because nothing had an explanation.
Okay.
So when the sun went up, why did the sun go up? When there was lightning, why was there lightning? When there was an earthquake, why is there an earthquake? Nobody knew anything, right? So not knowing something to the brain is a threat. Matlab hum log marne wale. Agar tujhe karan nahi pata, to matlab marne wale, because all you have is knowledge. Knowledge is equals to control in our mind. So that is why when you say that Indra Bhagwan ne lightning feka, Surya Bhagwan ne, Surya Bhagwan gave us all light. Now we have a template. We have something to look at the world and say, okay, now I know why this is happening. So now we have a relationship with the world. So now everything makes sense. So now the brain can calm down and say, ki, it's okay. Now you know, so that you can go on with your life. You can go on doing your work. You can go on making a family or whatever, which is why I think that religion saved us. Like religion saved humanity because it gave us that template to work with. Right. The issue is that we still operate like that. When something happens and we don't know why. So suppose if somebody has cancer and that cancer remits spontaneously, which happens, like sometimes cancers just disappear and we don't know why. We cannot say, like as a human being, we cannot say ki pata nahi kyun hua. Hum log aisa nahi chhod sakte. For in our mind, we have to, like absolutely have to connect it with something. And the weird thing is that it doesn't matter what you connect it to, as long as you connect it. So somebody can say, maine aaj subah khatta doodh pi liya. Aur us wajah se mera cancer remit ho gaya. It's okay. It doesn't matter. As long as that person says it and he believes it, uske mind ka wo anxiety theek ho gaya. But to leave it at पता नहीं क्यों हुआ एंड टू गो ऑन विथ योर लाइफ इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट. सो दिस इज व्हाई देर इज नो वैक्यूम इन नॉलेज. पीपल विल ऑलवेज फिगर आउट दैट से दैट दिस हैपेंड बिकॉज ऑफ समथिंग, बट द ओनली वे टू prove it is by a like a trial. Matlab, you take 100 cases of skin cancers that have spontaneously remitted, and then you see ki 100 cases mein se kitne logon ne ye kiya, kitne logon ne kharab doodh piya, kitne logon ne acha doodh piya. You understand? So then you will know.
Yes, true.
Right. So that is the only way. So that is why whenever you take a single example, very difficult to say as a certain thing, and it is fine. Like that is how knowledge progresses. Mm-hmm. None of us should pretend ki hum log ko sab kuch pata hai, kyunki nahi pata. But as you, the important thing is to collect evidence. So agar kisi ek ka cancer cure ho gaya, to usko document karo, aur usne jo bhi kiya hai life mein, sab kuch likh do, and then wait for the next 100 people jiska cancer remit hua, and then you compare. कि ये सारे लोगों में कॉमन चीज क्या है, अनकॉमन क्या है. लाइक फॉर मी दैट इज द ओनली वे. लाइक आई एम ओके विद सेइंग आई डोंट नो,
बट दैट्स फाइन सर, दैट्स ओके. ये क्वेश्चन ही ऐसा था. आई मीन इवन आई वाज अ लिटिल कंसर्न्ड कि यार ये क्या हो गया, हाउ कैन दिस हैपन.
या
ठीक है, आई थिंक द फ्यू आई एम रिच नोट्स. आई थिंक आफ्टर दिस व्हाटएवर यू सेड I've made notes, and this is quite something to think about. Definitely ponder over this. This is going to give me some really good content for the next couple of days, I feel.
Yes, man. Like likewise, even I'm going to take in a lot of take-home messages from this conversation. What is the advice that you would give to somebody who is starting out on, let's say, Instagram, right? And they want to create reels. Are there any, like something, just some mistakes that you made that you would have liked to avoid now?
I would have said started late, first thing.
Yeah.
Because one major thing I believe is that people think a lot when it comes to start. This is again a small bit from this book I mentioned, The Art of the Good Life by Rolf Dobbelei. People don't like starting. So it's like if you want to make a good painting, you have to start running a brush. This was Picasso's quote. You have to pick up the brush and you have to start painting. You can't just think about a painting if you want to make a painting. Yeah. You have to start. So it's like people fear starting because there is a minor percentage chance of failing when you start. A small percentage of it. That's why people love thinking, because there is 0% chance when you think. When you're thinking, there is no chance of failing.
Yeah, you only have potential.
Yes, you have no chance of winning also, but there's no chance of failing. People focus on the 0% failing chance. So that's why people don't start. So when you start, there is a small chance of failing, but okay. Because of that small chance, people don't start. But I feel that if I would have started, I started in October 20 and reels were introduced quite a few months before that.
Yeah.
So I feel if I would have started back then, I would have been a lot ahead than I am now. But theek hai, I'm happy about the way things are right now anyway. Second is that people often fear competition when it comes to reels. And now reels pe competition has to be converted into collaboration. Now, when I started off, I personally felt a lot many creators were ahead of me. There were so many creators which started with me, but now they are ahead of me. And I used to treat them as a competition, but then I started treating them like an inspiration. I saw what they are doing, what unique thing they are doing, how are they juggling with their content, what mistakes are they making, what improvements are they making, what kind of content are they making. So I'm not treating them as a competition. I'm treating them as an inspiration that, okay, diye hai, ye main bhi kar sakta hun. Now, so many of my real ideas I've gotten from my competitors, the other people in my own niche or maybe in some other niche, ke haan, ye aise kar raha hai, main bhi iska aise kuch kar sakta hun. Let's see if it works or not. Now, I specifically came across this one style of reel where two Ujjwals are talking to one another. I'm here. It's like a conversation. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that idea in itself, I got from this person, Drishti Sharma. Yeah. I saw one of her reels where she was talking to herself and I was like, "Haan, ye bhi toh ho sakta hai. Let's try this." And touchwood, back then, whichever such reel I created where two Ujjwals are talking to one another, almost all of them went viral. Because I got inspiration from another place, from a creator who at that point was doing better than me.
Right.
She still is. She's doing wonderful. She's doing wonderful. And she has some really inspiring content. You should check it out, by the way.
Yeah,
that's one. And third is when you start, don't focus on the equipment. Like right now you have this headphones, this podcast mic. This is not necessary when you start.
Right.
Now, I did this mistake myself. I didn't start because I was too equipment focused. आई वॉज थिंकिंग ये कैमरा होना चाहिए, ये लाइट होनी चाहिए, ये माइक होना चाहिए. नो, बट देन आई स्टार्टेड विद अ सिंपल एंड्रॉइड फोन एंड सिंपल JBL ईयरफोन्स. ईयरफोन्स नॉट इवन माइक, ईयरफोन्स. ईयरफोन का माइक होता है ना, आई यूज्ड टू रिकॉर्ड ऑन दैट. माई इक्विपमेंट इन्वेस्टमेंट वॉज नॉट इवन एन इन्वेस्टमेंट, इट वॉज आई वॉज वर्किंग ऑन जुगाड़. बट स्टिल now the reels which I made with that went viral. So equipment is something you shouldn't focus on. You work with what you have. That's it.
Equipment is the ultimate procrastination.
yes. I feel yes, absolutely. Many people don't start just because of the equipment. Equipment is something which comes a lot later. I still don't have a lot of equipment even right now, because I feel the simpler it is, the better it is. The simpler it is, the less complicated it is. So that's one thing. This one excerpt, by the way, from Robin Sharma's book, that it's always better to have less people in your circle, less work, less assignments, less books, less things to do. But less, by less, I don't mean quality. By less, I mean less in quantity, but more in quality. It's like the quality of the work at the end, that's what matters. So yeah, these three were the lessons. And fourth is that it's always wise to give people something which they don't know, period. Mm. The lesser known your content is, the less accessible somewhere else your content is, the more it has a chance to go viral. For example, most of the people today, they post only generic content. For example, they'll just post quote like, honesty is the best policy, cleanliness is next to best. Okay, no, these quotes are not wrong. They are right. All right, but everybody knows them. ये सब जानते हैं. पीपल डोंट वॉन्ट टू लिसन टू समथिंग जो वो जानते हैं. पीपल वॉन्ट टू लिसन टू समथिंग जो वो नहीं जानते. समथिंग विच दे डोंट नो, समथिंग विच इज यूनिक, समथिंग विच इज नेवर बिफोर हर्ड. एंड पीपल हैव अ टेंडेंसी ऑफ शेयरिंग दैट. फॉर एग्जाम्पल, जो उनको नहीं पता. फॉर एग्जाम्पल, देयर वॉज दिस वन रील विच आई मेड, लाइक सो द नरेटर ऑफ रामायण ऑफ महाभारत वॉज महर्षि व्यास, राइट? ही नरेटेड इट, ही डिडंट राइट इट. Lord Ganesh was the actual writer.
Correct. Right. Yes. Delegation tabhi se ho raha tha.
Yes, it was probably the biggest delegations. Now, Mahabharata is huge. It's right. Huge. It's vast. There are so many things over there which we don't even know. So now there's this one thing which goes like, this is the story that Lord Ganesh agreed to write Mahabharata on one condition, that Maharishi Vyas has to keep talking. He doesn't have to pause. You have to keep talking. I'll keep writing. If you stop talking, I'll leave.
Wow.
That was the condition. So as against that, Maharishi Vyas also proposed a condition that you have to write a verse only after you have understood it. If you've understood it, only then you write. Otherwise, you can't write. So they both agreed. It was a mutual agreement.
Right.
Now, Mahabharata is huge. Now, Maharishi Vyas also needs some time to think, So in the meantime, Maharishi Vyas used to give a lot of puzzles and riddles to Lord Ganpati. Now, these puzzles and riddles also are a part of Mahabharata. These are called Kutashlokas. Kutashlokas, okay? These are puzzles. Now, these are puzzles, or you can say brain teasers. Brain teasers. So one of them is that, what is a drink, something to drink, which is religious, which is offered to the Lord, but it is someone's leftover drink. वो बोलते हैं ना, झूठा है किसी का. ये झूठा का नाम चढ़ाते नहीं है, but ऐसी कौन सी चीज है जो हम चढ़ाते हैं? The answer to this is cow's milk. Because a cow's calf will drink a milk directly from the mother's breast, from the cow thing where you give the milk out.
Yeah.
So it's in a way a leftover, but you still offer it. Then there was this one thing that, what is a cloth? That is a dead body's cloth, but it is still religious and you offer it. Answer is silk, because apparently silkworm gives silk and then dies. So it is retrieved from a dead body. So there was this one more, that what is something to drink, but it is this particular drink is somebody's vomit, but it is still considered auspicious and offered to the Lord. So the answer is honey, because honey is considered to be bee's vomit. So, you know, these were the kind of brain teasers which Lord Maharishi Vyas used to ask Ganesh, Lord Ganpati. So this was like Lord Ganesh had to think long and hard to answer these questions. And in the meantime, Maharishi Vyas also could remember, ki, okay, this is the verse. Now I know. So now this is something which people don't know. Suna nahi hoga kabhi. Okay. Now this is something which if you present, something less known, something people don't know, no matter what it is. If you present it in a style which is unique to you, and if you are able to deliver it, people will share it because people have a tendency of sharing something which they don't know.
You know, when you're,
like it.
When you're saying this, I feel that every content creator is in the position of Vyas.
Really?
And Ganpati is the audience. And the audience is saying, you cannot stop creating. You have to post something every day.
Yes, correct.
And your counterpoint is, I will post it once you've understood the last one.
correct.
So if you post a content that has that really makes the audience think, it will buy you more time.
Correct. Buy you more time. Exactly. So I think that's a brilliant analogy. Wonderful.
Oh man. Okay. So let's do one thing, dude. Let's co-create this reel together. Okay.
Yes. We have to.
This one thing, because I think we came up with this together. Uh-huh. I love it.
It's wonderful. We'll do that. We'll definitely do that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Perfect. We'll do that. Noted.
All right, man. So there is a lot that I would like to talk to you about. I wanted to keep the podcast for an hour. I don't want to stretch it too much.
Understand.
But the things that you are doing really interest me because I feel that as a neurologist and a doctor, there are certain things which I discuss from a very everyday, real, practical perspective. But even in those conversations, I feel that spirituality is a topic that is missed. So coming from a doctor's point of view, we don't often incorporate spirituality into our discussions. But if I'm honest, nowadays I have started a little bit.
Yes.
And the more I talk about it, the more I realize how much people want that too.
Okay.
And unfortunately, in the scientific community, exactly like you said, there is a bit of pushback on these are not topics that we should talk about, you know, like we are scientists, we are educated people.
True.
But the ironic thing is that when those people become patients,
they turn to,
and they go to a doctor, they want that same kind of guidance. They want that same kind of solace. They want that same kind of empathy and understanding that I believe spirituality brings. So this is something that I was just thinking when I was hearing you talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how every field, no matter what field you are in, spirituality can play a role in improving your work life. I mean, not just your inner peace and all, it'll probably improve your work life.
Yes.
Is that something that you have also experienced?
Yes, it does. Work and I think spirituality both are, I believe, interlinked. Mm. So one major issue is that people, they bring work at home and they sometimes bring home at work.
Mm-hmm.
They often tend to do this. And even in my previous work cycle, when I was working maybe 5, 7, 8 years ago, this norm prevailed. Like work and home were getting a lot intermixed and intertwined with each other. So I think spirituality firstly enables you to keep both of these things separate. And I think one thing which happens more often at work is that people are becoming very, 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 very money centric. I know the pandemic might have made people drive that way because there have been so many losses, so many businesses have been shut and so many lives have been lost majorly because of this. So I think one aspect about spirituality is that it is helping people cope into their work cycles better. It has personally helped me also because I'll tell you one thing. Back before the pandemic, okay? Before the pandemic, I was the kind of a person who was never satisfied with less. Thoda aur salary aur honi chahiye. But I think come the pandemic, after the pandemic, I personally have seen a major shift in the way I think and in the way I perceive things. Right now, I prefer peace over everything else.
Mm.
Peace is the main thing which comes in. For that, I accepted a job with a lesser pay. I accepted some things going a little, I accepted making a few compromises for the sake of it. And I have personally felt improvement in my health. improvement in my state of mind, and improvement with my relations, especially with my parents, especially with my brother, especially with a few handful friends, which I am very close to. But yes, all the four things about spirituality, which I said, finding the right mentor or guru or someone intelligent than you, reading good books, music, podcast, and all of that, name chanting, meditation, I think it has made me calm and made me focus on the bigger picture in life or the bigger things in life and not be money centric. I say that, yes, I was money centric and I still am money centric because we obviously need money. Money is not an enemy. Money is also not the destination. Money is basically like that taxi which you use to get from one place to your destination. But ultimately, when you reach your destination, you have to let this taxi go. You can't keep it with you. So money isn't bad. Money is good. Money is only misunderstood. That's it. So that perspective has changed. So money, you need it. You need money. You need things. You need a good business. You need a good place to work because you need things to grow in life. Like Lord Krishna says in Gita, nobody is without karma. Everybody has something or the other to do. There is no, absolutely no individual in this world who is not doing any particular work or karma. We are doing something. Even as God, Lord Krishna, when he came, he himself was subjected to karma. Because when he came in this world as a human, he was bound by human restrictions. And one human restriction is to always indulge in some sort of karma. We are doing that. So it's like you have to have a good work, but not because work is everything, but because it's a part of everything. Everything, the term everything, people have different definitions of it. Different people have different definitions of what everything means to them. The problem happens when we make work equal to that everything, whereas work is just a part of that everything, not everything. So, yes, please.
Yes, I mean, if the first thing that you said about money, we are living in a society, like we are a part of this whole system. And for me, money is like a placeholder for that value that we have for society and the society, the value the society places on us. I completely understand why people are after money, because money is their brain has identified money with a lot of things like security and safety and social validation and power and all of that. And our brain wants all those things. Like there's a lot of dopamine in all those things. But somewhere along the way, like you said, we forgot that those are the things that the brain wants, and money is just an example, or money is just a like a metaphor for those things. And instead of wanting those things, we actually directly went for money. The most important thing about this is when you want to provide value to society, you have to become valuable.
Valuable, right.
You have to be somebody who can provide value. So people, instead of focusing on money, people should just focus on being somebody who can provide value. Like being somebody who can provide something that society will value. And then money is an automatic consequence of that.
And this reminds me of a quote by Kunal Shah. I don't know if it's his quote, but I've seen a picture with Kunal Shah's picture, the founder of Cred. And it's a quote that if you are running and you ask people for Nike shoes to run, people will not give you Nike shoes. But if you are good at running, if you run, and if people see you that are good at running, people will automatically offer you Nike shoes. That's how it went. So yeah, I think that's what I'd like to say. But yes, I think this quote will really stick, that if you want to provide value, you have to become valuable. That was a very interesting quote, which I heard.
Cheers, man. I'm glad that we are providing value to each other.
Yes. And I suppose to the viewer, to the listeners of this podcast as well.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the reaction from the audience, the comments that they will have on this conversation.
I really hope so too. Yes.
Yeah.